Welcome to this special edition of Middle Market Musings, the podcast devoted to the people and ideas of the middle market. We're coming to you from the Association for Corporate Growth's 2023 DealMax Conference in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm Charlie Gifford of New Heritage Capital.
And I'm Andy Greenberg of Greenberg Variations Capital. Today we're speaking with not one but three deal world luminaries. In this segment, our guest is Bruce Fenton, partner and private equity practice leader at the Troutman Pepper Law Firm. But please check out the two other terrific guests who joined us here. Before we begin, we'd like to thank ACG for all of their support in making this podcast, as well as our sponsors, New Heritage Capital and Greenberg Variations Capital. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Bruce Fenton, Troutman Pepper. I don't know if you, when you woke up this morning, you knew that you were going to be the first guest ever when Middle Market Musings goes on the road, and here we are doing video. It means we've really grown up. How does it make you feel?
Makes me feel like I should have gone on a diet, but I'm honored. I'm honored to be here. Thank you very much.
Well, we're excited to have you here. As you know, Andy and I are really kind of very focused on the details, the minutiae, to make sure everything is perfectly ticked and tied. So I'm sure it's going to go perfectly. We have no editing this time. You know, usually when we do the audio, we have an editor, you know, to make
we
it.
Should start.
No, we have no clue what we're doing.
No editing, no makeup. Could only afford one pair of socks between us.
Talk about no safety net. This is awesome.
Didn't buy a pocket square. He just took a tie and he folded it in half. And what the hell is that thing? Anyway, so Bruce, you know, welcome to DealMax FKA Intergrowth. You hosted myself and my friend Andy, along with a lot of other luminaries in the middle market, at a dinner that you host every Monday night of Intergrowth DealMax. How did that come about? And it is the 11th year that you've done that, right?
Yes, it is. It is plus one virtual, okay, which was really kind of fun.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But it was replete with amazing food, great company, fair amount of liquor, and fire-eating dancers that you'd only find in Las Vegas.
Very true.
That was a lot of fun. Well, how did it come about? Like, how did you start doing that in the first place?
So what happened was about 15 years ago, long before Pepper Hamilton, my legacy firm, merged with the Atlanta-based firm Troutman Sanders to form Troutman Pepper, we were a Philadelphia firm looking to increase our brand recognition and increase our network. And I had been very involved in ACG Philadelphia, but I hadn't gone to Intergrowth before. I hadn't really taken advantage of what the larger ACG universe had to offer. And I went to Intergrowth a couple of times in order to get the lay of the land and realized there was a huge opportunity in curating a dinner in which people had the opportunity to go beyond the 15, 20 minute speed dating that is DealSource and really kind of double down on the idea, the first rule of sales, that people do business with people they like. And really the only way to get to like someone, or hanging curveball, gotta say it, dislike someone, is to get to know them. And we like you.
Here we are.
Don't worry about it.
Bruce, sorry to interrupt, but kidding aside, and sooner or later this discussion may have some humorous aspects, but you know, we've had a lot of discussions over the years about your marketing mindedness as an attorney. And as a friend of yours, you know, again, kidding aside, I do think it is notable that you have always seemed to think more about putting your firm and yourself out there in a marketing way than many of your legal counterparts. Did that come to you early in your career, or how did that develop?
Both of those questions have the same answer. So thank you. The fundamental, the foundational principle is people do business with people they like. That's point one. Point two is that people generally are known by the company they keep. So if one is trying to...
I hope that's not...
By the way, you're the one who said...
If you could read my thought bubble over my head right now...
You're the one who said we get to humor later.
That was kind of a hanging curveball. Yeah. I'm surprised that I did that.
I was trying to be polite because I don't want to interrupt because you've been interrupting all much.
But, All right. You're making some point about associational connection.
And what happened was I had a very strong network in Philadelphia.
Yep.
But I did not have a strong network outside of Philly. I spent my entire legal career there. I went to college there. I went to law school in a different community. Mm-hmm. I believe your hometown.
Nice place to
but,
be.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the idea of trying to expand my network and also at the same time create opportunities for the firm kind of intersected. And I went to Andy. I went to Gretchen Perkins. I went to Dan Ryan with an idea. And the idea was to double down on the deal source concept by curating a dinner in which each investment banker or PEG got to invite the two people coming to the conference he or she most wanted to spend time with.
Yep.
In order to basically say by Monday night, if the conference somehow ended the next morning, you had a successful conference because you were with the two people you most wanted to be with.
Got it.
And all of them said, it's not being done. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It sounds good.
Yeah.
We will do it. And what wound up happening was I took three friends and each of them invited two. So now I had nine people.
Right.
And then I found a couple more friends and they did that.
Yeah.
And our first dinner, I think, was 22 people. Last night, we were at 58.
It's awesome.
And I don't want to get any larger because the intimacy gets lost.
Sure.
But the idea was if you want to develop a name for yourself, you have to be confident in what you're doing, you have to do it well, and you have to rely on your friends.
Sure. Well, I have to tell you, I was invited by Andy last night, so I have a warm feeling in my heart that apparently I was one of the ones that he most wanted to spend time with. Good on you. But anyway, it was a really fun night. It was a great night up until when I was strolling through the casino on the way back to my hotel room at around 10:30, 11 o'clock, and it was just packed with people. And I was feeling, it was a great night. I was a little tired because I was on East Coast time. But as I was approaching the elevators after walking through and by like 1,000 people bobbing and weaving, I noticed I still had my name tag on. You know, there's nothing like walking through a public area with a name tag.
Right.
You're like, oh, damn it. Anyway.
Bruce, great event.
Thank you.
We all are getting used to the DealMax brand. We knew Intergrowth for many years. I feel like you must have a good Intergrowth story or two.
Probably more than two, but of those, anyone that
Let's go for one.
Paramount in your mind?
Yeah. Well, Hall of Fame football players?
Okay.
Leading the jury. What is that? What's that story about?
So what happened was one of the things I used to love most about Intergrowth was the keynote speakers because it was an opportunity to hear from and ultimately as a sponsor go to the meet and greet and meet people I never otherwise would have had an opportunity to. So I have a picture of how short I am compared to Magic Johnson and that sort of thing. But 1 year, Peyton Manning was the keynote of Intergrowth. And the year before that, Nolan Ryan had been the keynote speaker. And my son had a baseball, an autographed baseball collection. And I had asked a couple of people if they could get me a baseball signed by Nolan Ryan. And being the cautious lawyer I am, I think I may have asked four people assuming one would deliver.
Yeah.
All four delivered, and I got busted with four Nolan Ryan autographed baseballs, and they were furious at me. Management was not happy. So the next year,
Well, what happens to the three other Nolan Ryan baseball autographed baseballs?
If you'd like one, I still have them. I offered them back, and they were so angry at me. They're like, I don't want your baseball.
Yeah.
So the next year, I was told, literally on pain of death or banishment from Intergrowth, that there would be no requests for autographs.
Okay.
Well, now I felt challenged.
Yeah.
So I found a small football that would...
And this is Peyton Manning. The next year, Peyton Manning. The next year
is Peyton Manning. So I found a small football and put it in my pocket. And I'm waiting online, and every single ACG person who I walk by says, and no autographs, and no autographs. I'm like, no autographs. I get it. I get up to the front of the line, and I get like a warning stare.
Yeah.
And I notice to the right that there are four people who would make any front line of a football team nervous. Yeah, they were so large.
Yeah.
And Peyton's right in front of me, and I walk up to him. I say, first, I got to be honest. I shake his hand. I say, I got to be honest. As growing up in northern New Jersey, you're only my second favorite Manning. And he chuckled. He was very nice. And he said, yeah, I kind of like Eli, too. And I said, look, I know we're not allowed
alluding to Cooper.
Cooper, exactly. Well, Archie.
Good choice.
So I said, I know we're not allowed to get autographs. He goes, yeah, you know, lawyers, which was pretty funny.
Well played.
And he didn't know I was a lawyer, so it was perfect. I said, I don't want a signed football, but I think it would be really cool to be able to tell my friends forever I caught a pass from Peyton Manning. Okay. So I have this little football. If I hand it to you, will you like just toss it to me? And then I can lie to everybody and say I caught a pass from Peyton Manning. He goes, sure, no problem. So I reach in. Yeah. As I'm taking the football, the four goons start charging me because they think I'm going to ask them for an autograph. So I immediately do the brave thing and go like this. And Peyton, you know, he's used to being behind the line. He goes like that.
He's like 6'5".
He was nothing compared to these guys. Yeah. He goes like that and then just does this.
Uh-huh.
And they like skulk back into their corner.
Yeah.
He puts his hands out. I hand him the football. And he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him.
And then you did a post grab?
Very good. He's looking at me, I'm looking at him, and it's like 10 seconds go by, 20, 30. Finally, he goes, what are you waiting for?
Go deep.
Go long. Like that, and I'm off. Nice. I'm in a suit, tie.
Okay.
He throws the ball, and by the way, the ACG people are losing their minds.
So good.
The ball comes over.
Oh, no.
It hits my hands.
Oh,
I mean, I'm
no.
a lawyer, not an athlete, right? It hits my hands. It hits my head.
Oh, my God.
Everyone gasps.
Oh, my God.
It bounces off my head right back into my hand. I pull it in. I turn to Peyton, and Peyton goes, touchdown.
And God, that is a good story.
I turn around, and there are 100 people
with
furious
a death glare. Like, what is your
furious
problem?
At me.
That's hysterical. Right.
I run back to him. I give him a big hug.
Yeah.
I turn around and say to the photographer, did you get that?
Yeah.
And he goes, talk to them.
Yeah.
I've never seen the pictures of it.
I've never seen the pictures.
We should take advantage of this moment to say two things. First of all, to thank ACG for hosting us and letting us use the great ACG TV video facility.
Thank you, yes. Can I get your autograph?
And we also should say that the people now in charge of ACG are much more chill than the faceless bureaucrats in your store.
No question about it.
Actually, so if you want to go for a deep post route again, just let us know. We'll get through your water.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We We planned on having a little bit of substantive discussion.
No.
What's hot at Troutman Pepper right now?
The deal world, not so much. Restructuring has definitely picked up. Very hot. The collapse of Silicon Valley Bank has had a ripple effect. A lot of banks are really nervous about the Fed. Doing the monitoring that the Fed obviously didn't do with Silicon Valley Bank, they're tightening up, and that's creating a liquidity crisis in a lot of PE portfolio companies. And the smart ones are looking for advice up front in order to avoid problems.
Right. So I'm surprised to hear you describe it as having such systemic tremors. I have tended to look at Silicon Valley, and the subsequent bank failures as more isolated events. And as a matter of fact, as you may have heard, Charlie's father, Chad Gifford, legendary banker, spent some time with us on the audio podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he tended to take that view. And I also, interesting thing, he insisted that I call him Chad, and off camera,
Charlie makes me call him Mr. Gifford.
That's such a beast. I mean, my gosh.
So,
your personal relationship is not something I can unpack in the time we have left.
Yeah, so we don't have enough time on that, but going back to the substantive point.
I will observe, in terms of the substantive point, that I think you are right systemically. However, I do think that there are a number of banks who were go-to banks for quite a while that are really nervous that when the eye of the Fed, the regulators, falls upon them, that their balance sheets are going to be a little light. And they are tightening up. So it's not a question of widespread failure. It's a question of, think about fourth grade. Everybody's playing around. When somebody gets in trouble, everyone else suddenly starts behaving themselves.
But I feel like on the front end, people who said, "Oh, be careful of any, even the slightest default, lenders are going to come in and make up for lost time. No more kicking the can down the road. No more amending. They're going to really extract their pound of flesh." I don't feel like I've heard that as much. But I'm just curious about, are you saying you're seeing an increase in that? You're seeing banks take advantage of that opportunity to do just that? Or you think they're playing better in the sandbox?
I think some are doing it.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think it's to the point where it's going to create a systemic shock.
Yeah.
But I do think that the long-term debate between kind of transactional lenders and relationship lenders, I think is being stressed a little at the moment.
Interesting.
Well, maybe, if you're making that dichotomy, transactional lenders have had the upper hand for most of the past 15 years, but there are these periodic shifts in the market back to a little less leverage, a little more emphasis on relationship, a little more tolerance for intercreditor agreements.
Right.
And what something like this does is push the market back in the direction of what makes sense for the transaction.
Well, it's like insurance. I mean, you only need insurance when you need it, and you better have it. And it's kind of, and I'm not making an advertisement for either relational banks or transactional kind of funds, but if you want to rely on the relationship, you better have had a long-standing relationship, because when you need it, if you haven't had it, it's too late.
Yeah, most of the conversations I've had over the last day or two, the conventional wisdom, everyone's saying second half of the year is going to be better, right? It's pretty consistent enthusiasm and optimism that the market is going to get better. Fed's just raised rates again. The Fed did, but they're signaling that that's going to stop. What does your crystal ball tell you about second half of the year? Just that?
Yes.
Okay.
You're listening to a special edition of Middle Market Musings. brought to you by New Heritage Capital and Greenberg Variations Capital.
All right, we have our little game. Should we play our game?
You're going to do it?
How do I do this?
Go.
You'll roll through all six. This is the, we have to give credit where credit's due. Andy's son.
The irrepressible
Henry,
who Bruce knows is.
Brainstorming on how middle market musings could be improved. Long list of ideas is just one of them. So thank you, Henry Greenberg, for this idea. But we're going to play a little game, a rapid fire game called Charlie or Andy. There's six questions. And for the six, you have to apportion who would you choose, either Charlie or Andy, to do each six. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read the six all together. And then you're going to have to fit three on to in Charlie's apartment, three in Andy's department. Okay? So you have to remember what they are. Number one.
Well, we'll run through them again, but you'll read the list. And then
so number one is DJ your daughter's sweet 16 party. Two is cut open the wound and suck out the venom after a rattlesnake has bitten you on a remote hike. Number three, look after your kids for 1 month while you and your spouse are away out of contact. Four, drive a getaway car. Five, tell the people next door to your South Beach vacation rental to turn down the music. And six, has the higher Uber score. Let's go with the low-hanging fruit. What do you think?
All right. Definitely.
We should write these down.
All right. Sweet 16 party.
I'm going to go in my own order.
Oh, okay. You're going to go in your own order.
All right. All right. Yeah. So Andy definitely takes care of my kids.
Wow.
Because there is
that hurts.
There is no way they're becoming Red Sox fans.
That's terrible.
Okay? No way.
Mm-hmm. Why? The Phillies are all bad people. They throw batteries at people and they boo Santa Claus.
Okay, that was the Eagles, and I tend to agree with you, but let's move on.
Some of that is possibly apocryphal.
Okay.
All right.
Andy for the kids. I take that. I feel like that's a personal affront, but we move on.
Yeah.
Okay. The DJ.
I mean, come on. Jesus. One thing I could do is he's going to play you like
Andy.
Oh,
because
do you know what that says about you?
Charlie is just going to talk about how great he is as a DJ.
My God.
Okay.
Give me another one.
Venom, suck out the venom, which is really off-putting. Drive the getaway car.
Okay.
Tell people South Beach vacation rental music and Uber score.
All right. Andy gets to suck out the venom because I've known them like
100 years. Thank you.
And there has to be yin to the yang.
Okay.
All right.
So I'm the getaway car, music, and the Uber score.
Well, you are kind of South Beach. No, you are kind of South Beach.
I thought that's for you. I mean, I'm not wearing socks.
The getaway car, I'm feeling like your car's nicer than Andy. So if you're driving it, I'd rather. And then the Uber score, well.
It's defaulted there. That is the one question that has an empirical answer, which we will get to.
Will you?
Toward the end.
Are we at the end?
Well, not the end with Bruce. There's going to be a reveal.
Oh, it's like the big reveal.
There's a reveal. We're going to do it.
Okay.
So I'll be interested to hear what other people have to say, but I think you know me well enough to know that I basically live to tell people to turn down their music.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But look at this guy. He's so South Beach.
The no socks.
Like, come on.
Andy's the guy, though. He is the guy that screams, get off my lawn. And he's been doing it since he was probably 25 years old.
And if he wasn't in South Beach, people might listen to him. In South Beach, people aren't doing it.
Charlie's the guy who, he's your husband. You've got this posh vacation rental. The people next door, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. It's like you send out and say, tell him to turn down the damn music. And now it's like it's 2:30, it's 3. Where's Charlie?
Charlie's over there. Right.
I'm on the turntable.
He's DJing the party. Exactly.
He's leading a go-go. He's leading a conga line.
That's it.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you the story when I kidnapped the conga line at a wedding?
No,
I'm sensing I'm going to hear about it.
This sounds like a good closing note.
All right.
Bruce, have you ever kidnapped a conga line at a wedding?
I did indeed. So I was at my wife's cousin's wedding, and it was the night of the Yankees Baltimore Orioles playoff game where
Jeffrey Meyer caught the ball.
Exactly. Caught the home run, the non-home run.
Yeah.
And you know, it was before cell phones, so I couldn't check the score without going to the bar.
Yeah.
So I say to my wife, it's my wife's entire family, I say to my wife, I'm going to go check the score of the Yankee game. And my brother-in-law says, I'll go with you. So he starts walking out. And at that very moment, they start up the conga music. So just as a goof, I put my hands around his waist and I started doing this. Next thing I know, there are 100 people behind me and we have an actual conga line. And my brother-in-law turns around, he says, Bruce, what do I do? And I said, go out the door, because I wanted to see the score of the game. So we walk out the door. The whole conga line follows us. My mother-in-law says to my wife, honey, I think your husband just stole the wedding. We go around the turn. I open the door, let the conga line go back in. My brother-in-law and I go to the bar to check out the score.
All right.
Well played.
Bruce Fenton, good man. Good lawyer. You've given the video edition of Middle Market Musings probably a better start than it deserves. Thank you
for joining
us. I
gave it my best shot, guys. Thank you.
Good
work.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Middle Market Musings. We'd like to extend our sincere thanks to Bruce Fenton for joining us today, and once again encourage you to listen to the other two segments in this DealMax extravaganza. Once again, we'd like to thank the Association for Corporate Growth and our sponsors, New Heritage Capital and Greenberg Variations Capital. Thanks as well to our editor, Jason Zappolo. If you enjoyed today's podcast, we encourage you to like and follow Middle Market Musings on Spotify, Apple, or whichever provider you use to access podcasts. And of course, feel free to share with your friends. Thanks again, and look forward to catching you on the next one.